Thanks, Greg. Yes, we have caught up with Kelly O'Connor. That was so powerful and so beautiful. Bravo.
Oh, thank you so much.
This is such a powerful work with an equally powerful backstory. Mm. How did you come to be the eminent interpreter of them?
Well, I was very fortunate that they had already been programmed when Lorraine had passed away in Chicago, and they just had to find another mezzo. And Ara Guzulemian, who at the time was at Carnegie Hall, recommended me to Bernard Haitink, and I had never worked with him, and he took his word for it. Peter as well. I did not meet Peter Lieberson. I just was recommended, and I ended up being the one that it worked out for me to do it. But, you know, Peter also got sick after Lorraine, and he was recovering from treatment in Hawaii, and he said, why don't you come to Hawaii and we'll work on the songs? So I actually flew to Hawaii, and every day we did a song with him playing at the piano, and that's how I learned them.
Wow. So, you know, the story is that he picked up this book of 100 love sonnets by this poet, Pablo Neruda, and decided to set five of them for his wife to sing, and then his wife premiered them and then died about a year later, and then he was diagnosed and he died. So it's a very sad story, but it also has this tremendous warmth and passion. How do you approach them? How do you think of them?
Well, I've also been lucky that I've sung them while Peter has been in the audience and while he has decided to kind of surrender them to me and when he's passed on. And to me now, they are together enjoying them. And that's kind of the greatest gift. I always think that they're at every performance together now. And Peter has always, he was always very optimistic about love. And he was kind of like the fifth song, like our love will just change lips and change lands and it will never die. And he felt that way. He felt he was very lucky in love. So it's not necessarily a sad ending. And I didn't feel that he thought that either. It was such a beautiful representation of their love story.
When you met with him, what insights did he give you?
Well, I unfortunately had never met Lorraine Hunt Lieberson, and I had seen one recital she did. I had heard a lot about her. I'd seen, of course, I've heard her many recordings and was a huge fan, but I didn't know anything personal about her. So the fact that I got to spend those 5 days with him over meals, over music, and just learn and hear stories about her and them, and it really added so much to my performance of them. And I do feel that, you know, after a couple times, maybe 4 or 5 times that I sang them, Peter said, they're yours now, and I'm not going to come anymore. I just feel like you are embodying these so beautifully that I don't, you know, I feel like you've taken the torch, and I'm proud of what we've done. So it was a very big honor.
Wow. So are there any particular parts? There's somewhat of a narrative.
Yes. It's kind of like the, you know, the sunrise to the sunset of a day, if you will, the beginning of love, the exuberance of those first feelings. Then the third song is actually my favorite song. It speaks about, don't leave me for a day, for a minute, for a second. Don't leave me. I will die. I will search the world looking for you, and I will die if you don't come back to me. I mean, it's so devastating because it's that moment when you realize you can't live without this person. But Neruda's text is just meant to be set to music to me. It is so lyrical, and the words are so powerful and descriptive, and it's just, when you read the poetry, it sounds like music. So I think it just lends itself to this very lush atmosphere that Peter has described. And so, you know, of course, the last song is My Love If I Die and You Don't. And that's why that was so powerful at first, when she had passed away and he was still living. You know, it's just such a beautiful, he chose such beautiful excerpts, I think, from that book.
Well, you mentioned that your favorite, at least at the moment, is the third one, which is Don't Go Far Off, Not Even for a Day. Is it the poetry? Is it the music? What is it about that part?
Yes, I think it's the combination. Some of the other pieces have more movement and flow, and maybe some more kind of bossa nova sounds. Just it's maybe the stillness of this song makes the text so important. And I think I like that in the middle of it, I can come to this moment of just such seriousness. And within your joy, you still find these moments of panic or sorrow or worry. And that's so human. So I think it's nice for you to have these, oh my gosh, I'm so in love. I can't, like, your soul is in my soul. Like, oh, we are the best. This is so glorious. But then you're like, but don't go. Like, you know, I mean, it's such a human journey. So I think that's why I like that moment.
And at the end, it's sad, but it's also peaceful.
Right. Correct. Singing the last song is very difficult because it also has moments of stillness. It has this beautiful climax in it as well, but it kind of breaks down. You know, the end kind of just becomes more and more sparse. And Peter, when he would come, I like to look around at the audience. I look around and I kind of deliver the message, I feel, not to one spot in the audience. And Peter really wanted me at the final pages to look, see the person and not move. And just say those last lines directly to the person that you're choosing to see. And that was very, he's not, because he wasn't very bossy. It's not like he told me, you know, to do certain things. But I thought that was very, and now for me, I mean, I think of them together. You know, that's always what I think of at the end. I try to find someone that I imagine is like Peter or Lorraine. And just, so that's what I do at the end. And it's, I mean, I always cry, but I'm fine with crying. I think it just adds, you know, it adds so much because it moves me too.
Wow, that's so amazing. I'm getting chills because I didn't realize that you would, I mean, I hadn't thought of the fact that you might pick some particular person in the audience. I understand that you really love singing in concert with orchestras or in recital more than opera.
Yes.
Is that partly because of the interaction with the audience?
Yes, it's very interesting. There are all types of singers. And, you know, certain people like wearing a costume and being on the stage and having the orchestra, you know, separate and all of those different things to have the character to hide behind. But I really love being myself and just communicating a message. And I've had other singers say to me, but we're so exposed. When you do concert work, it's just you and you're just like, there's nothing else. And I said, I have a whole orchestra though. Like, do you understand? But I'm on stage with an orchestra. Like, I actually am not alone. You know, when I do opera, they're in the pit. They're so far away from me. And, you know, when you do concert, you have this connection like with the conductors. And I've been so lucky to work with fantastic conductors and be able to introduce this piece to them and have them fall in love with it like I have. And but that speaks to me as an artist as well, because then I have more input and it's more present and we can communicate in the moment. I just find it's what I think I was built for.
It's like a collaboration.
Right. Immediate. You know, you can immediately understand the person and be able to be malleable, I think.
Is there any particular message from this piece that you're thinking about communicating to the audience?
Oh, gosh. Well, to me now, it really is their love story. And I feel like I'm so lucky to get to deliver all these different hills and valleys in a relationship and in love, and that it will take on different forms and it will go on and it's never ending and it's, you know, it's constantly evolving. So that's why, again, it's so lovely that different times, different pieces will mean something to me too, something different to me. I think they'll just be full of love and actually optimistic at the end.
Thank you so much, Kelly O'Connor.
Thank you.